President Joe Biden is going to be in Howell, Michigan tomorrow, and he's coming for one particular reason.
We're on the cusp of an infrastructure decade that I truly believe will transform America. As you all know, just a short while ago, the United States Senate passed the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, the very legislation I ran on when I announced my candidacy.
Biden's infrastructure bill passed in the Senate back in August, but the House vote has been pushed back again and again for months. That's because House progressives are leveraging the vote on this infrastructure bill in order to pass a separate bill, one that includes additional spending for education, health care, and some climate change remedies.
One of my frustrations with our Senate colleagues is that they become rather proficient in saying what they're against, but not so proficient in describing what they would support.
This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Today, we're digging in on this infrastructure bill, the so-called hard infrastructure proposal, and how it could help Michigan if it's passed, and also why it's stalled. Congressman Dan Kildee represents Michigan's 5th District. It includes places like Flint and Saginaw and portions of the Thumb. And as you know, Flint has received a lot of national attention for its infrastructure in the wake of the water crisis that began in 2014. But as Dan Kildee notes, there are other outstanding infrastructure needs in the 5th District as well.
Well, they're pretty serious. I mean, obviously, roads, bridges are crumbling. We've already seen the impact of dam failure. I mean, we had just upstream from the 5th Congressional District in my friend John Molinar's district, a catastrophic dam failure. That's hard infrastructure, and that had huge economic consequences. But I think the more difficult consequences of the failure to reinvest in infrastructure is sort of like a death of a thousand cuts. We don't notice each one, but each time it's just that much more difficult for us to get raw material to our production facilities, for us to get finished product to markets. It costs business more. It costs us all in economic loss. Our biggest competitor is China. They spend 10 times as a percentage of their GDP what we do on 21st century infrastructure. And so we have all those needs. The bigger problem we face in the Midwest, and this is especially true in my district, is that we are older communities with aging infrastructure, whereas in other parts of the country that have developed more recently, while they need infrastructure upgrades, they're upgrading much more modern, much more recently built infrastructure. Not so much for us. We have real struggles, and we need to get this done.
President Biden is concerned enough with this that he's making a trip to Michigan tomorrow to Howell to sell aspects of the plan. The Democratic Party is in the grip of a strong tension right now between lawmakers who really want to get this infrastructure bill passed, end of story, and those who say that the bill is not worth doing if education spending, healthcare spending, and additional climate provisions do not get a similar priority. How close would you say Democrats are right now to getting neither of those things?
Well, I hope we're close to getting both, and that's really the focus. It would be a tragedy if somehow we were not able to get both bills or either one over the finish line. As to where I stand, I will support the so-called hard infrastructure bill, the bipartisan infrastructure bill, whenever it comes to the floor of the House. And I think that's important. I do also, though, think that we can't just stop there. There are other aspects of our society, housing, healthcare, access to healthcare, issues related to climate change, the need to invest in 21st century vehicles, electric vehicles. All of that is just as important. But we haven't been able to get bipartisan support for that part of the agenda. And that's why this single plan has been broken into two parts. The piece that has bipartisan support, the piece that seems to be only supported by Democrats. We want to do them both. And that's the struggle that we're dealing with right now. Can we come to agreement on the second piece of it among Democrats so that we can move them all forward together? That's our hope.
Negotiations have left us with a very delicate structure for these interrelated agreements. There are progressives in Congress who have agreed to support the so-called hard infrastructure bill if human infrastructure also moves. And there are also moderates who are hinting that they could support what the progressives are asking for if the infrastructure bill comes up for a vote in a timely fashion. But we're in this situation now where key senators in the other chamber, like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, have been very quiet about what kind of spending they can stomach. Are we at a stalemate right now?
I don't think we're at a stalemate. We're at the point of negotiation. And we met with the president last week and went through some of this. The president is of the view that we need to do both of these pieces. I think that's part of the argument that he'll make as he begins to travel the country starting tomorrow. I'll be there with him in Howell. So the hope here is that we can pull this together, that we don't have a stalemate. And I'm pretty confident that when push comes to shove, we will take what we can get. We will, and I, you know, I speak as a progressive, but as a pragmatic progressive. I believe whatever the boldest common denominator is that gets us 218 votes in the House, 50 votes in the Senate, obviously plus Vice President Kamala Harris breaking the tie, and the president's signature. So that will probably be, most certainly be, somewhere between the $1.5 trillion in the Build Back Better Act that Senator Manchin supports and the $3.5 trillion that we have taken through the committees in the House. So it'll be the this is a lot of numbers, the 1.2 million in hard infrastructure plus another investment in healthcare, in climate, in family supports like the tax cut for people with children. That will come somewhere in the 1.5 to 3.5 range. A lot of people are speculating around 2 trillion. Whatever we can do, the biggest, boldest common denominator is what we should do.
We need to take a short break. In a minute, more of our conversation with Congressman Dan Kildee.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Dan, you're Chief Deputy Whip for the House Democratic leadership. How have you been talking with colleagues like Rashida Tlaib, who don't have a whole lot of trust that the human infrastructure bill will move on its own, and who say they're not going to budge on this one?
I understand that. I think at some point in time, however, when we are in a caucus of Democrats with really slim margins, we owe it to our constituents to find a way to trust one another and to hold hands and move forward, to jump. What I've been encouraging people to do is focus more on what they favor as opposed to what they oppose. And this has been one of my frustrations with our Senate colleagues, is that they become rather proficient in saying what they're against, but not so proficient in describing what they would support, what we can move forward on. So what I've been encouraging progressives to do is to take what we can get, because it's a big step forward for the American people, knowing that it might not be what we would do if we were doing this all by ourselves. We're not. And I also tell my moderate friends that, look, we've got to find a way to get to yes, even though you might not appreciate all of the aspects of this. When you step back and look at it, This is an important moment for the country. We have a chance to do something not only that's big and bold, but unlike some past efforts, that is fully paid for by making sure that those at the very top of the economy pay their fair share.
Right. Well, that's a complicated thing for Republicans. We heard from another one of your colleagues, Republican Fred Upton, on NPR's Morning Edition the other day. And he talked about the fact that that's very problematic for his party. He also, I heard him downplay the relationship between the two bills for hard infrastructure and human infrastructure. And I want to play just a little bit of what he said. Let's listen.
We don't even have a bill yet. It'll be weeks and weeks before they have legislative language and see where exactly where they are. And who knows if they actually end up with the votes to pass it in either the House or the Senate.
Now, he was talking about the human infrastructure bill, and I heard him downplaying the chance of the interrelated deals falling through. But he also sounds kind of frustrated. Do you think that the Democrats will be able to reach the agreements they need to in the 3 weeks so that all members of Congress can get a win on this one?
I think we will come together, and I think it will be a compromise. That's the nature of our democratic system. A lot of folks are looking at what we're going through right now and saying, well, look at this. This is dysfunction. It's not dysfunction at all. It's democracy. We're not seeing people storm the Capitol. We're not seeing a whole political party deny the obvious outcome of an election. What we have is a debate between people within the same party who have different views as to how we move forward. And we're trying to get those views reconciled with one another so we can get to yes. That's democracy. I mean, and Fred Upton is a friend. We work together on a lot of things, but I'll just take exception to one point that he makes, and that is that we don't have a bill. We have a bill. I'm a member of the House Budget Committee. I'm also a member of the Ways and Means Committee. Ways and Means Committee wrote about two-thirds of the legislation, and all of the 13 separate pieces were knitted together at the House Budget Committee and are ready to go to the Rules Committee. So we have the framed out legislation. There may be pieces of it that we need to take out in order to get from the $3.5 trillion down to whatever number we agree to. But this has been the product of an awful lot of work for many, many months, and it's ready.
And that's the Stateside podcast for today. You can find full Stateside episodes at michiganradio.org. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis. Today's episode was produced by Rachel Ishikawa with help from Laura. Our theme music is by 14KT, additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.